If you would like a Bible either to take home with you or you just need to borrow it for the morning, lift up your hand and we'd love to give that to you. Ephesians chapter 6 will be our text this morning, and we'll get there in just a moment. We're kind of coming to the close of our series you see on the screen, 40 Days of Prayer, and it's going to be wrapped up next week. But as we think about this whole emphasis we've had, I hope it's been a blessing to you. And as you look at your notes in your program, there's some yellow sermon notes. We begin several weeks ago with giving you that scale from 1 to 10. Do you remember that? I asked you the impossible question, how would you rate yourself in your prayer life? And I know that's a difficult question. And the goal was wherever you find yourself, you say, well, Pastor, I'm a 1 or I'm a 4 or I'm a 5 or I'm a 6. The goal over these 40 days was to grow a little bit in your prayer life. And many of you on that first Sunday wrote on the back of your Connect card about your prayer desire, your desire to grow in consistency or passion or focus or time. And I've kept these in my office, and I've prayed over them several times over the last 40 days. And I've been praying that God would indeed help all of us to take a step forward in our prayer life. Amen? I want to be more consistent. I want to be more passionate. I want to be more focused. I want to be, you know, more open to the work of the Holy Spirit, whatever it may be. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I've been praying for you. I'll continue to do so. And I pray that we would all grow in our prayer life and in our desire to pray and spend time with the Lord. And here's the big idea for this morning. So I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. It's the first fill-in there in your notes. It's this, that God wants to help you to pray. Now, that may not sound too surprising, but sometimes we overlook that. Sometimes we think, well, it's my job, and I've got to kind of just make myself do it, and I'm just kind of making myself pray. Listen, the good news is that God wants to help you to pray. Think about that. God wants to help you to pray. God wants you to grow in your prayer. It's not all up to you. It's not just say, well, I'm going to grit my teeth and pull myself up by my bootstraps and make myself pray. Prayer is a partnership. We are praying together. God helps us. The Apostle Paul, as we'll see in a moment in our text, he talks about praying in the Spirit, praying by the Spirit. We're not just praying on our own, that we have the partnership and working together with the Holy Spirit. I thought I'd hear an amen there. All right, okay, just checking. I need you to be with me this morning, so stay with me. All right. Prayer isn't just about me thinking about things or praying about them as if I were on my own. We've said it several times over this series that God has invited us to pray. Prayer was God's idea in the beginning. He's asked us to come to him in prayer. And so we're not knocking on a door that he does not want to open. We're not trying to get God's attention. God says, I want you to pray. And as we'll see this morning, I'm going to help you to pray. And again, as I mentioned earlier, that a couple things are coming together this morning. Again, today is Pentecost Sunday in Acts chapter 2. Why is it called Pentecost Sunday? Because it was on the day of Pentecost, 40 days after Easter, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. As I mentioned earlier, as a Pentecostal church, we believe that the gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit that we see in the book of Acts are still for us today. Now listen, let me be very clear. We believe in speaking in tongues, but it's not all about that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is much more than just one idea, and sometimes people talk about that as if that was all it was all about. Of course not. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live for him. The Holy Spirit helps us to be witnesses for him. The Holy Spirit gives us the power that we need to live for him in this day and in this age. So again, we have help. We talk about praying in the Spirit. I'm going to ask my wife, Jackie, to come on up. She's going to read our text this morning. Let's stand together, shall we? Out of respect for God's word, we want to stand as we read it, read the text this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18.
A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then finally, Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Amen. Father, we pray that you'd help your word come alive in our hearts today. Speak to us, Lord, individually as we look at your word, as it's spoken over us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, honey. You may be seated. God bless you. A couple things I want you to notice about this passage before we dig into some details. The first part, of course, you may recognize that it talks about we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Let me pause there, and you may have seen it in the South Point News. We're going to do a series in June called The Unseen World. And I want you to know that if you've got questions about angels or demons or heaven or hell or Satan, I want you to do me a favor. How do you have a question about one of those topics? Raise your hand. Okay, you thought about it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to send me an email about your question. And we'll do our best in that series in June to answer those questions and talk about those. We got together with the staff this week, and I said, guys, before we end staff meeting, we've got to come up with a list of 10 questions. And we came up with 12, so we got some questions already. But as you think about this whole idea, this whole topic of the unseen world, we're going to spend the month of June by going through that. And so again, if you have questions, I'm inviting you to email those to me. And I can't promise I'll answer every one of them in the sermon, but we'll maybe put some on the website and just be able to kind of hopefully answer some of those questions. So the unseen world. But the second thing I want you to notice about this passage is verse 18. That's really our text this morning. Verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So this morning, I want you to write this down. Point number one, the Holy Spirit invites us to listen as we pray. The Holy Spirit invites us to listen as we pray. Listen, prayer is not a monologue. We don't just, again, have a laundry list of things that we're going to bring to the Lord. We pray, and then we say amen, and we're done. The Holy Spirit invites us to listen to His voice as we pray. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. That it's not just a monologue. There's a partnership to prayer. We pray and we listen. We listen and we pray. It's a conversation. There's a conversation between us and the Lord as we pray. There's a partnership to our prayer. It's not about a monologue. It's not about just saying, well, Lord, here's my list of things I need, and I'll see you later. If we never spend time listening to the voice of the Spirit and we're in our prayer, we're missing out on what God has for us. We're missing out on that time and that opportunity for Him to speak to us. In other words, we'll be praying about something. We'll have a prompting. We'll pray about this person or think about this person or reach out about this issue. We'll have these thoughts and these promptings as we pray. And we ought to listen to those. We ought to listen to the voice of the Spirit as we pray. If you listen, the Spirit will speak. Oftentimes, again, He'll give us marching orders. He'll say, go here or go there or say this or do this. And that comes only as we take time to listen as we pray. Again, Paul says to stay alert. In other words, we're alert. We're listening to the voice of the Spirit as we pray. It's not just a monologue. Of course, let's be very clear. We're not saying every impression we have in prayer is from the Lord. You may have an impression, and if it doesn't line up with the Holy Spirit, just write that off to bad pizza or something the night before and say, you know what, that's just a weird idea. The same thing is true in dreams. Occasionally God may speak to us in dreams, but oftentimes it's just our own mind working. We can't just say, well, I had a dream about this. If it doesn't line up with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, then we've got to just let it go. Amen? But I will say that as we are praying, we ought to listen to the voice of the Spirit. We had to listen to the promptings that He gives us and be ready to act on them, because prayer is a conversation. It's not just a monologue. But number two, here's where we want to spend most of our time this morning. Number two, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And again, I said it earlier, today is Pentecost Sunday. And where does that come from? Where does that idea come from? Well, I put it there in your notes, and I've got to tell you, I've got these scriptures out of order in your notes. So if you're following along with me, I want to turn your notes over, because Acts chapter 2, and we'll double back and get Romans chapter 8 in a moment. But Acts chapter 2 is where we get the idea or get the title for Pentecostal churches, or the idea that today is Pentecost Sunday. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So that's where we have the birth of the church, the giving of the Spirit to the church. Now, that's what makes the church the church. You realize that we're not just a group of people that get together. We're not the Rotary Club or people that's nothing wrong with that, but we're not just kind of getting together for a common cause. We are empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit. We've got the presence of the Lord in us and within us. And as we gather in a room like this, it's not just saying, hey, let's get together and kind of hang out and have a club. There's the added dimension of saying that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to the church to empower the church to help us to be all God wants us to be. It's a big, big deal. So on that day, the Holy Spirit was given to the church, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit with the ability to pray in tongues, to pray in a language that they had never learned. That's why our tribe of churches, and we're a part of the Assemblies of God, and our kind of branch of the large church is called the Pentecostal branch, because we believe that the miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues and all these things are still available today. Now listen, let me be very clear. Not all brothers and sisters in the larger church believe that. But I want to be very clear. That does not mean that we break fellowship with other people. We don't say, well, we have this different understanding than you do, so we can't fellowship. Not at all. We just have a different understanding and a different emphasis, perhaps in some churches. It's nothing we need to break fellowship over, but yet we believe that this is what God's Word teaches us for today. Say amen if you know that's true. So let me ask you the question. Have you ever felt like you need help in your prayer life? I'm raising my hand. Lord, I need your help. What better source of help could we ask for? Better than reading a book or watching an instructional DVD, the best help we can get is say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Jesus, teach me to pray. Lord, fill my heart. Help me to pray in the way that you want me to pray. So that brings us to Romans chapter 8. And again, if you're following along, you might need to flip your notes back over. Romans chapter 8 says this, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Verse 26, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You see, there's a moment in time that I've experienced, and perhaps you have too, where I've said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. And I believe, now again, not everyone, you may not agree with me, but I believe that this refers to praying in tongues or speaking in tongues in my heavenly prayer language, praying in tongues. When we don't know how we ought to pray or what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Again, let me ask you, you don't need a show of hands, but let me ask you, have you ever felt that way, that you don't know how to pray or what to pray for? You know you need to pray, but you're at the end of your rope. I sure have. What do we do? Those of us that have been filled with the Holy Spirit know that God's given us the ability to pray in a language that we've never learned, to pray in what we might call our heavenly prayer language or our personal prayer language, and we can pray in tongues, and the Lord will, as we'll see in a moment, the Lord builds us up and edifies us and helps us in our prayer. We don't know how to pray, but the good news is we don't always have to know how to pray. Here's a great illustration. Just like a child, just like a baby. Have you that are parents or grandparents, you're holding that little baby and the baby starts to cry. Now, my grandkids never cry, just by the way. I mean, they're just perfect kids, so just theoretically here, right, okay? But if you're holding your grandchild or your baby and they begin to fuss or cry, you don't say, now, you tell me what's wrong with you and then I'll fix it. Now, are you hungry, or do you need your diaper changed, or what? Are you tired? You tell me, and then I'll fix it. How do you know that your baby can't tell you what's wrong? You just gotta know, and you gotta take care of that baby. In the same way, when we come to the Lord, and there are times we say, Lord, I'm burdened, I'm run down, I'm worn out, I feel like I need to pray, but I don't know how, I don't know what the burden is. These are opportunities for us to say, Lord, I thank you for helping me to pray. And one of the ways you help me to pray is I can pray in my heavenly prayer language. I can pray in tongues. I can pray in the Spirit. Now, again, we'll clarify this in a moment. This is not in a church service. This is not lifting my voice in a way that everyone else has to hear me pray in tongues. This is a personal prayer language, a personal hotline to heaven, if you will, a time for me to pray in the Spirit and know that God is going to help me and strengthen me and heal me and lift me up. And I don't know how to pray or what to pray, but I can pray in the Spirit. And just like that little baby doesn't have to say, well, mommy, here's what I need. I'm wet and I'm hungry and I'm tired and I need you to fix me. No, that baby just cries out and the mommy or the daddy knows how to help. In the same way, there are times when, and I believe Romans 8 refers to this, that we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. And God gives us the ability to reach out to him and pray in the Spirit. Now, let me clarify again, and let me just share with you because I know I'm going to bring up more questions than I can answer this morning. So out on the welcome desk, there's a brochure called The Baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of funny because yours may not look like this because I look through the closets of our church. We have four different covers for the same brochure, which tells you that we change covers often, and we've had some around for a while, but it's the same. So if you've got questions, and I know many of you do, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. This is new to me, or I've got questions or confusions. Pick up one of these brochures, look it over, it's filled with scripture, and if you want to dialogue with me about it or one of our pastors, we'll be happy to talk with you about it. But I'll just tell you, I'm not going to be able to answer every question this morning unless you want to stay till 4 o'clock, amen. And I get hungry pretty soon after church, so we probably aren't going to do that. But pick up this brochure, I think it'll help you. But let me just quickly say this morning, and we'll take time to kind of go through at least this portion of the word today, that the Bible talks about speaking in tongues really in two main settings or two main uses of this praying in the Spirit. The first one, and when it talks about the gift of tongues, is it's when it's used in the life of a believer, like we're talking about this morning so far, when you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray for, and it's a private time of prayer. It's you and the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is helping you to pray, and you're praying in tongues, and it's not interpreted. It's just between you and the Lord, and it's a beautiful thing. And again, you may have a burden to pray, but you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to pray. You don't have the energy or the wisdom to pray. Good news, the Spirit helps us to pray, praying in the Spirit. He prays through us. He prays for us. He prays with groans that words cannot express. Now again, this has been my experience, and I don't know, I'm sure for many of you, that there are times, even this week, it was ironic because Wednesday is my study day, so I try to set aside the day on Wednesday to study, and I was just having a difficult time, and I thought, Lord, I've got to work through this, and I'm excited, I've got a lot of things to say, and I just felt like I was banging my head up against the wall, and so I just took some time and prayed in the Spirit. Now, there was no need for anybody to listen, there was no need for an interpretation, because it was myself, my Spirit calling out to the Lord through the baptism and the working of the Holy Spirit. You see, now that, I think, is how God wants to help us to pray. And I believe that's an important aspect of it. Now, secondly, there's also times when the church is gathered, like this morning, when someone will give a message in tongues, then that message is translated or interpreted into English, and that's for the benefit of the whole church. So it's, again, it's still speaking in tongues, but it's in a public setting. It's a moment where the church is gathered and someone gives a message. And you know what happens here occasionally. And that's a good thing. When it happens here, we evaluate the message to see if it's in line with the scripture. Now stay with me here. Someone gives a message in tongues, we need to make sure that the interpretation, first of all, is given. And secondly, that the interpretation follows in the Word of God. And you need to know that as your pastor, if someone gave a message in tongues that didn't line up with Scripture, we would have to say, you know what, brother or sister, that's not what the Word of God says, and we would have to find a way to get over that and past that to realize that just because someone gives a message in tongues, it's not authoritative like the Word of God is. Are you with me? But God does speak to us. A great example is the Corinthian church. Now, again, this is where I'm frustrated because there's so much material in Corinthians that we won't have time to go through this morning. But the Corinthian church is, if you've read chapters 12 and 13 and 14, the Corinthian church loved speaking in tongues. I mean, they thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they didn't even have bread in those days. I mean, they just got together, and they enjoyed it, and they would get together, and they would all gather in a room, and they would all speak in tongues. And the Apostle Paul said, you know what, guys? That's not what God has in mind for you. Because what good does it do if everyone just kind of speaks in tongues and there's no edification, there's no language that people can understand? And so they would gather together and they would all speak out in tongues. There was no interpretation. There was no order or no direction. And Paul said, hey, not so fast. That's not why God gave you that gift. That's not why God gave you that ability. Because that's just chaos and that's just, just... There's no edification. No one's being built up. And so Paul told them, even though I speak in tongues more than any of you in my private prayer life, I would rather speak five words in English to build you up. So Paul says, listen, and let me kind of give you, there's a little chart in your notes. Let me kind of help you with this here. That when the New Testament talks about speaking in tongues in two different ways or modes, there's the public message in tongues, and that needs to be interpreted for all. So if God gives you a message in tongues, and again, it happens here at South Point occasionally, that's a good thing. We believe in that. Amen? But there needs to be an interpretation, because if there's no interpretation, it doesn't build us up. It doesn't edify us. It doesn't give us direction or encouragement at all. And so, again, when if we were to give a message in tongues, we'd need to make sure that we're ready to give an interpretation. Now, the private use of tongues, like it's mentioned already this morning, is spoken to God. And so in your private prayer language, in your private times of prayer, you don't need to worry about someone interpreting, because it's not a public thing. You are praying in the Spirit. God has given you the ability to pray in tongues, and there's no need for an interpretation because you are speaking to God. Now, I'll give you some scriptures here in a moment. So go back to the public, again, a message in tongues. The reason for that, or the use of that, is to build up the church. Paul says that when someone gives a message in tongues and interpretation, it can edify, it can build up the church, it can give them encouragement or direction, it can help them with assurance and just help them feel that the presence of the Lord is there and God can speak to them. Again, in the private realm, though, the Bible says we speak in tongues, we pray in tongues, not to build up the church, but to build up myself. The Bible says he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And so we need to be clear on kind of the differences and the differentials here, that God gives the ability to pray in the Spirit or to pray in tongues, but there's different uses of that gift. If you're with me, say amen. All right. So, for example, again, if someone were to stand up right now and give a message in tongues, I would have them sit down. Why? Because I don't believe the Holy Spirit would interrupt himself. And so people have to understand that the uses of the gifts of the Spirit need to be done in order, in a way that edifies and builds up the church. If someone speaks out a message in tongues in an interpretation that doesn't line up with Scripture, again, as the pastor, I would need to bring a word of correction and say, well, brother or sister, that's not what the Bible says, and so we need to move beyond that. If we're going to work and move in the gifts of the Spirit, we've got to make sure that we're teachable and that we're obedient and that we're humble as we use those gifts. You see, there's a misconception in some Pentecostal circles that says, well, gifts of the Spirit are somehow equal or authoritative like the Word of God. That's not true. I want to be very clear that this is our authority. You need to help me out here. This is our authority. Amen. Amen. When God gives us a message in tongues, I've seen it here every time it's happened here. I know that God is using it to build us up and edify us and encourage us, and that is a good, good thing. Now, anytime you hang around church circles, you hear funny stories. I'm not even sure if this is a true story, but I've heard the story. I think it's a funny one. Sometimes we get in Pentecostal churches and someone gets excited and they say, they're used by the Spirit and they say things. For example, there's a story of a man who was, during the worship time was just felt the moving of the Holy Spirit and felt he had to get up and give a message in tongues. So he gave a message in tongues and he believed it was from the Lord, and someone else got up and gave the interpretation, and they said, this is what the Lord would say, as I was with Moses in the ark, so I will be with you. So what do you do with that? I mean, Moses wasn't in the ark, And so, all that to say, this is not infallible. When we're used by the Spirit, sometimes we can get in the way and we can say things, and that's okay. We just have to work with it and realize that, we're not perfect and we're not infallible. And I think that's a funny story. I don't know if that ever happened, but who knows? But here's the key. I want you to write this down. And again, let me be clear. As a Pentecostal pastor, I've seen abuses, I've seen weirdness, I've seen things that don't line up with Scripture, and you probably have too, but here's the answer. The answer to misuse or misunderstanding doesn't mean we totally give up in the working of the Holy Spirit. The answer to misuse is proper use. In other words, we don't say, well, I heard someone, give a message in tongues and it didn't line up with Scripture. That must mean that the whole thing is of the devil. Listen, that's not very wise, because the answer is not to just kind of say, well, everything is, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. The answer to misuse is proper use. Go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Amen. I just appreciate how quiet and respectful you're being this morning. It's just so encouraging to me. You're just taking it all in, I know, but that's fine. You see, and let me also, again, just give you some more instruction. You might say, Pastor, I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because I'm afraid that God would use me to stand up and give a message in tongues, and I'm not going to do that. That would be, I'm not willing to do that. Listen, I believe God wants to fill us all with the Spirit and give us all the ability to pray in tongues, but that doesn't mean that God's going to use all of us in the public manifestation of the gift. Now, God may ask you to do that, and have you know that God stretches us, and that's a good thing to grow. But God wants to fill us. God wants to help us to pray. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians here for a moment, kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together. And I'll show you how Paul kind of helps us to understand, again, the two uses of speaking in tongues here. Because look there on your notes. 1 Corinthians 14, 18 to 19 says this. I thank God, this is Paul saying. Now remember, he's talking to Corinthians that loved speaking in tongues. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So what's Paul saying there? A couple things. He's saying, one, there's two uses of the gift of speaking in tongues. One is privately, and Paul says, listen, and he's kind of exaggerating here, because how would he know that he speaks in tongues more than anybody else? But he's saying, listen, you guys think it's great. I think it's great too, but in my private prayer life, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. But when we're together, I recognize the value of speaking intelligible words that are going to build you up. I'd rather speak 5 words in, we would say 5 words in English, than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul here helps us understand the different uses of the gift, that we ought to pray in the Spirit, and we ought to be open to that and say, Lord, help me to pray in the Spirit. But it would be inappropriate for us at South Point to, let's all get together and speak in tongues for an hour and then go home. That would not edify anybody. Amen? God speaks to us through the language that we hear and understand, and for us, that's English. So again, as your pastor, I would rather speak 5 words that build you up than to stand in front of you and speak in tongues, because that would not build you up. But again, there again, in my private life, in my prayer language, in my time with alone with the Lord, I do pray in tongues, and I encourage you to ask God to help you to do that as well, because as we see, it does build us up. So again, in his own private prayer life, Paul saw the benefit of this prayer language, but in public he knew that any message in tongues had to have an interpretation, or else it would be useless. One more scripture you see there, also from 1 Corinthians 14. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So again, Paul here is talking about in our own private prayer time. You know, we are praying in the Spirit, and again, we don't need to feel weird about it, because we're not praying for anybody else. We're not praying to anybody else. God has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit and to pray to Him directly, and anyone who speaks in a tongue, as he says, does not speak to men, but to God. So again, if God gives you the ability to pray in tongues or to pray in a heavenly prayer language, I want you to know that that's a good thing, and God enjoys hearing you. It builds you up. It helps and strengthens you. You don't need to worry about what the person next to you thinks, because, again, it's not a public thing. It's a private prayer time. Let's go on. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So there we get the idea there, that there are times, Romans chapter 8, 26, where we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. We feel like we're worn out. We feel like we're run down. And we say, Lord, just like, again, the baby illustration, I don't know what's wrong, but God, I just need you to minister to me today. Lord, in my prayer closet, Lord, I just need you to touch me today. I can't even tell you, Lord, what's hurting or what's wrong. I don't even know, you know, what the burden is. But Lord, I come before you and I just want to pray in my prayer language. And the Bible says, again, Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. So here again, Paul says this is a gift that's available to all believers. And I would like every one of you to do that. Again, he's talking about the private manifestation, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Again, Paul points out the authority of God's word, that we follow God's word, but yet he says, I want you to also have this gift. I want you to have the ability to pray in that heavenly prayer language. So again, Paul makes the difference between the public use of tongues and the private one. In public, tongues need to be followed by an interpretation. In private, we do not speak to men but to God, Paul says. We build ourselves up. It is the gift that God wants to give us. So I know we've covered a lot of ground this morning. But as we talk about these 40 days of prayer, it would be incomplete if we didn't talk about praying in the Spirit, praying by the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit in our prayer. Because prayer is not just me talking to God, it's me listening to God. It's God even helping me in my prayer, giving me this opportunity to pray in this prayer language. Now let me say a couple things here before we shift gears this morning. Praying in tongues or speaking in tongues is not a badge you put on your shirt. And say, well, way back in 83, God filled me with the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues and now I'm good for the rest of my life. I've got my badge. God desires us to have an ongoing relationship with Him. And if your idea of say, well, I was baptized back at youth camp or I was baptized, in the Spirit back here or back there. Listen, I'm not legalistic about it. I'm not saying that there's so many times or whatever. But the Holy Spirit wants to be active in your life every day. And it's a relationship with Him. It's not something, again, we say, well, Pastor, I was filled with the Spirit, so now I'm a Pentecostal, and, well, I've never really, witnessed, or I haven't really led anyone to Jesus, or I haven't prayed in tongues for, No, you've got a misunderstanding there. It's a daily relationship with Him. And being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make you better than somebody else. It's not a badge you put on and say, well, God's given me this gift, so I'm somehow, Listen, that's not it at all. Not at all. It's a gift the Father wants to give His children. It's a gift He wants to help us with, to pray in the Spirit, to say, Lord, we sang it this morning, I want more of You, God. I want more of You. And perhaps today that would be your prayer. And you might say, Lord, I've never had that ability to pray in tongues. Would You give that to me? Then I want to encourage you to ask Him for that. Again, I've been a part of Pentecostal churches for a long time, and I've seen, and you need to know my personality. We're not going to bring you to the altar and push on your forehead until you fall over or look for some sort of signs Listen, if you want God to fill the Holy Spirit, you ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll pray with you. But we're not about trying to, say this and say that and do this and do that. I believe God is bigger than that. I believe God can fill you when you ask Him to fill you. And we're here to pray with you and believe with you and support you. But again, we want to be careful there that we don't, kind of fall into some of those traps that perhaps that we've been a part of or we've seen in the past. God wants to help you pray. God wants to help you pray. God wants you to grow in your prayer life. And one of the ways He'll do that is to fill you with the Spirit, help you to pray in the Spirit. That's not the only way. Again, we're not saying this is the only way, but it's part of what God has for us. God wants to help you to pray. You might say again, Pastor, I was filled with the Holy Spirit way back when. Perhaps you would say, like D.L. Moody said. Someone asked D.L. Moody years ago, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I leak. I need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a badge we put on, but we're going to close in a moment. And we're going to just have the worship team come in just a moment, and we're going to worship God for a bit. And if you want to come to the altar and pray, the altars are open. If you want to pray by yourself, if you want to have someone pray with you, if you want to pray for healing, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you need to be saved, we're just going to open up the altars. And I believe God's going to help you and God's going to touch you. And we're just going to kind of do that this morning and encourage you to come and spend some time with the Lord. But before we do, I want to do two things. One, I want to pray, and then I want to show you another short video. So would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, we thank You that You've given us the Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us, Lord, that we can have a conversation with Him, Lord, that You've come to live inside of us as Your people. Thank You for the church. Thank You, Lord, for Pentecost. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, this morning, we want to just thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for helping us to pray. Lord, I want to thank You for helping me to pray. There are so many times I don't know how to pray or what to pray for, how to pray. And Lord, You've just come alongside and helped me to pray. And Lord, I thank you that so many others today, this morning, would say the same in their lives. And this morning, we want to close, Father, by just spending some time with you around the altar, spend some time with you in worship. Lord, just asking you to fill us, asking you, Lord, to touch us. Lord, asking you to minister among us, however you desire to do that. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been given to us to help us to live a victorious life. We give you praise for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's watch this short video together.
My new grandbaby, granddaughter, Evie, had just been born, and it was Saturday night, and she was 3 days old, and I went over to see her and her mom and dad. Her mom and dad don't matter as much. I mean, the grandbaby's what matters. And on the way home, driving from Tyler's house to my house, I had a sudden picture of my son as a single dad with his wife gone. And it captured me so hard, I just began to pray. I'm old school. I was pleading the blood and just praying protection for my son and for his wife and for their daughter. The next morning, about 7 o'clock, I got a call from my son, and they were rushing my daughter-in-law to the hospital. When she got there, it looked bad. The prognosis wasn't good, and her blood pressure was super high, and her pulse rate was 157, and her pulse ox was super low. And as she hung on to life, I thought back to the night before, and that the Spirit had prompted me to pray. Then that afternoon, a pastor friend in town, Hugh and Katie Yarborough, Katie messaged me, and she said, "Pastor Rod, I heard what's going on with Emily, and I got to tell you, I know you, and I know your wife, Cindy. I know Tyler. I've never met his wife, but last night I couldn't sleep because the Holy Spirit was just tugging at my heart to intercede and to pray for Emily, and I want you to know I stayed up last night praying for her. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to Katie, because the Holy Spirit knew what was going to happen and called us to prayer 57 hours after she entered the CICU. Emily walked out of that hospital healed and whole, and she's healthy today. And I'm so thankful for people who pray.
Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. I've asked the worship team just to prepare a couple songs, and I really don't have a specific way we're going to close this morning. If you need to go, you can slip out the back door, but I encourage you to stay. We're going to worship for a little bit. If you want to, I really do would invite you to come. Sometimes there's something about coming to the altar, kneeling at the altar, saying, "Lord, would you touch me? Lord, would you fill me?" Maybe there's a burden you're carrying. Maybe you just need to come and to pray. Maybe you need your prayers, "Lord, refill me with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Spirit." I don't know, but I just felt as I prepared this message this morning that this was an important time. And I don't have an agenda. I'm not going to ask you what you're praying about, but if you want to just come and spend some time with the Lord, there's just nothing to substitute for that. And so we're going to sing a few songs and just see how the Spirit leads this time. And I encourage you to come. If someone up here at the front that you want to come pray with, I encourage you to do that. But let's just kind of open up the altar and open up our hearts to the Lord and say, "Lord, we want more of you in our lives." If you desire to have a pastor pray with you, we'll be here and we'll be happy to pray with you. But if you just want to come and seek the Lord, we invite you to do that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's come to the altar. Let's pray. Let's worship. God bless you as you lead us this morning.